I had a friend once. When I moved out west, there were a few people that moved out west at the same time. This would have been about early 90s. And there was a person that I had considered a fairly close friend, and he ended up moving about hour and a half drive away from me. And so we would get together from time to time. But I started to realize over time that I would always go visit him and he would never visit me. And that whenever he would call, he would only call when he needed something. And I remember this really came to the fore in my mind because I had another friend from Toronto that went out west as well, and he was a guy that had very little responsibility at the time, and he had a job and that was about it. And so he was a very social guy, and he always had the time to hang out and do stuff. So he would hang out with us and stuff. And so at one point I was at home, and that first friend phoned me, and he calls and he's chatting for a bit, and I thought it was weird that I even noticed this. I thought, this is odd because he's phoning me and he doesn't seem to need anything. It was unusual. And so we chatted for about 5 minutes. He said, how are things going and stuff like that? And he said, by the way, is Reuben there? That was my other friend. Because I called his house first and he wasn't home. His dad said he was there. And so the only reason he called me was to talk to the other guy. And at the same time, throughout this whole process, there was another guy, and I was in Bible college at the time, there was another guy who would pester me all the time to hang out. I was like, I don't want to hang out, I got enough friends. And after a while, I realized, why am I putting time and energy into this guy over here when this guy actually wants to hang out and be my friend? He wanted to have a relationship with me, and so I kind of flipped that around a bit. We're doing our Proverbs series, and the proverb we're going to be looking at this morning is Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. In the original language, it's kind of funny. The original language says something like, a friend sharpens the face of a friend. And that's it's an idiom. It's a euphemism in that language because in that culture, in our culture today, we express ourselves through what we dress, by how we dress. And in that culture, dress was more a mark of social status. Who you were, your personality and your character was understood to be expressed through your face. That was the thing that represented the who you are. And so it was an idiom when you want to intend to do something, the idiom was you set your face to that. Or if you want to talk about somebody's personality or characteristic, it would be the emblem of that would be in the face. So when this says it sharpens the face of a friend, it means somebody who sharpens the character or personality of somebody else. Okay, and Lord knows we all need a little bit of help in that. In this Proverbs series, we always have the YouVersion Bible event, the live event on your smart device. There's application questions, where do we go from here, the verse is on there, so we always encourage people to do that. And if we have time at the end, what time is it? I don't know if we will. My number's on the screen. You can text me with questions or comments relevant to the message today, but I don't know that we'll have time today. You can still text me, whatever. So here, as we're going through Proverbs, we have all these. Well, they're proverbs. That's what a book is, a collection of proverbs. And some of them are, they're wisdom proverbs. And this is wisdom by analogy. So here's something you recognize in daily life. And I'm going to apply that to character development. And so as iron sharpens iron, okay, two of the same substance can improve a pair of scissors or a knife or whatever. In this case, people can improve one another through that intentionality. Relationships are core to what it means to be human. In fact, some philosophers and even psychologists and sociologists would say that without a relationship, you don't even exist as a person. We exist as a personality in relation to other people. This is how we are who we are. Relationships are so important to us, and in our busyness sometimes we lose relationships because we just don't have the time. And what some psychologists are finding out is that people are replacing real human relationships with artificial human relationships. What does that mean? Well, it means that when you're so busy, you don't have time for human interaction, you interact with fake people. You binge a television show, and when the show is done, you feel a sense of loss because that relationship is gone. Anybody ever experienced that before? Not just me. Stranger Things, Lost, right? You feel like you get to know these people. And when somebody dies on a TV show, people are upset, they're distraught. And what happens in your brain chemically is exactly the same thing as what happens if a real person were to leave your life or die. So relationships are core of who we are. And this is understood. I mean, this is understood by us today. It's also understood in Scripture. When you read through the New Testament and, you know, Paul writes his letters to churches and Jesus has commands to people, and sometimes we read it like, I read it by myself and this is for me. But many times, this is something that's lost in the English language, many times when he has a command for you, the you is plural. We don't distinguish in English between you plural and you singular. And so the commands and the advice and how to live is directed to groups of people, to communities, things that we're not good at living in anymore. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we express our spirituality, our following of Jesus, in community, because you can't do it by yourself. So we do it in this context here, and we do it in our small groups, which in some ways works a lot better, because it's hard to have a relationship where you're all facing one direction, right? When a small group, you kind of sit in a circle. You share life together. I was driving one morning when I was taking the kids to school, back when I still took them to school, and there would be this every once in a while, just for a lark, I would put it on Life 100.3, because there would be nothing good on the sports station. And this well-known preacher would come on and do this like 3-minute segment. And I remember this one time this person said, you should only have relationships that build you up. All of the relationships you have should be investments into you. And I thought, there's something really, really wrong with that. Like, if I look at the model of Jesus on the earth, that's not how he lived. If you are... oh, I'm going to have to take that out of the recording. If you rely on other people to build you up all the time, then it's almost like you're a leech or a parasite. Now, there may be times in your life where you don't have much to give to other people, but overall, relationships are give and take. When Jesus was here, he gave. He had three kinds of relationships as he walked on the earth. He had his relationship with his Father, which he invested in over and over and over. He would take time away from doing his ministry and spend time in prayers, much like what Diane was talking about this morning. And then he had relationships with his, they weren't quite peers, but his close friends, and he would invest in them and receive from them in a bit of a different way in these human relationships. And then he would preach to the masses, and he would heal people and all that. And so he's not just getting and getting and getting. We are called to give and to get in our relationship, in our to live healthy. But there's two kinds, generally, of relationships. There's relationships that give to you and relationships that take from you over the course of time. I have a very good friend, and you know, we spend time hanging out from time to time, and they're usually more kind of at that stage in life where we're not like playing video games together, or you know, we do social stuff every once in a while, but usually it's more intentional than that. And there are times when he's just going through garbage in his life, and I'm spending time investing with him, or investing into him, and giving to him. And then vice versa, there's times when he gives back to me. So over time, some relationships give more than they take, and others take more than they give. Our responsibility is to hold that in some kind of balance. Because there are some people that, for all kinds of maybe unhealthy reasons, find themselves in relationships where people are over the course of time are taking more than they're giving all the time. I'm not talking about parents to kids, okay? If you have kids, they're going to take from you. That's what kids, they're immature, right? But when you have other people that maybe should be your peers, and they're acting like children, they take from you all the time, that's not healthy. We have to have that in balance. You may have one or two people that are more givers than takers, but that should be balanced by people who are more... Sorry. There are people that might be more takers than givers. You have to have givers on the other side to balance that out, or at least people that are giving and taking, where you're growing together, you're sharpening one another. So evaluate. What kind of relationships do you have? Do you have people in your life that are investing in you? Do you have a... Well, that's why we have small groups, because this is where people invest in one another. They grow together. Do you have somebody that's mentoring you? Or all your relationships sucking the life out of you? Conversely, who are you giving out to? Are you investing in someone else? I know I was having a conversation with somebody one time, and they said, I know we're talking about small groups and building a relationship with one another. I have more relationships than I need. I'm sure most people are like that. How many people here want to add 10 new relationships to your life? Absolutely not. No, thank you. Okay, we have enough relationships. Many times we have enough relationships. Question is, what kinds of relationships are they? Are they relationships you should have, or maybe are they relationships you need to kind of prune off? There's two ways to prune a relationship. Like, think of a plant, right? There's two ways to prune a branch. One is you just cut it off. A lot of people aren't willing to do that. It's painful. I think there's another way to do it. You take a piece of string and you tie it really tight. And over time, you keep tightening it off until it just kind of falls off. That's another way to eliminate a relationship. It's a little bit less painful. But what you're doing is, you know what, I don't have time for this. I need to have a relationship with people that are investing in me. So again, we need two kinds. Relationships you're giving into over the course of time, and relationships that are giving into you over the course of time. Two kinds of relationships, and we need to hold that in balance. For those of you who don't have those, you say, I have too many relationships. Trim one off. How do I find the person that's going to give to me? You know, this seems really simple. It seems stupid. It seems kind of Sunday school. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. If you need a relationship that's going to invest in you, in prayer, ask God to give you one. Now, if you're asking him to give you that relationship, then keep your eyes open and recognize when it shows up, like the guy in my Bible college who was pounding on my door all the time, bugging me because he wanted to hang out. I was being an idiot. I didn't recognize it. Here was the relationship that God was providing for me that was going to replace the other one that I was pruning off. When I was in youth group years and years and years ago, sometime in the last millennium, we had great social relationships. We hung out all the time. We watched movies together. We joked around, goofed off, went for food, watched movies together, joked around, goofed off. Most of those relationships do not exist today that I had. We were so close. But it was purely social. Now, I had two or three others, relationships in that youth ministry, where the relationship went deeper than hanging out and watching movies and goofing off. Those relationships, every single one of them still exists today. Every single one still exists today. So there are two ways to, when you take a relationship inventory, there are two ways to get yourself to the place where you need to be. One is you prune off those relationships that are harmful or detrimental or sucking the life out of you. But the second is you take an existing relationship and take it up a notch. So instead of just going, for coffee with somebody and using that opportunity to talk about everybody else, maybe have a spiritual conversation with that person and see if they're willing to do that. Maybe they want to have that dual sharpening, mutually sharpening relationship, and they're just waiting for somebody to ask. When's the last time somebody invested in your life? When's the last time you invested in somebody else's life? And when's the last time you prayed with somebody? Sometimes we have these relationships that exist, and they're there for us to grow, and we just don't take the opportunity to do it. Take the opportunity. My challenge to you is sometime this week, have a relational encounter with somebody that's already your friend and take it up a notch. Pray with that person. Ask them, how are you really doing? You know, how are you doing? Fine. No, how are you really doing? What's big in your life right now? What's something that I can pray for you for? And that sounds so much like a thing that a pastor would say. You know what? And honestly, I'll be really honest. That doesn't come naturally to me. You may think, well, you're a pastor. It should. Sorry, it doesn't. But I've pursued becoming more intentional in that. If I'm having an interaction with somebody, friend or not, before I walk away, what can I pray for you for? It's really not that difficult. I know, because I tried it. It's really not that hard. What can I pray for you for? And not, okay, now I'm going to go home and forget. No, you pray for them right there. It's really not that hard. You don't actually have to close your eyes in a coffee shop to pray for somebody. It's not in the Bible. You don't have to do it. You can leverage all kinds of time to pray, even when you're driving, and I would recommend not closing your eyes in that case, right? Unless you want to demonstrate a high level of faith or something. So take the opportunity to leverage your relationships to sharpen you and to sharpen somebody else. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's 11:30. There's no text messages anyway, but every service, I want to give the opportunity for people who don't have a relationship with God at all to respond and say, this is something that I want, this is something that I need. And maybe my message today just really didn't sink into your heart because it just didn't really come clear, this opportunity you have to have a relationship with God, but maybe Diane's story did. And so if you are somebody and you're saying, there is that thing that's missing in my life, there's that spiritual element, I don't experience that life, how do I get it? It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for God. B, believe that God has that life for you, and it's provided through Jesus. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, the opportunity, the door is open, it just requires you walking in. And then C, commit your life to him. You can't follow Jesus without that commitment. It's like saying, I'm going to decide later whether to get into the lifeboat. Not deciding is not getting into the lifeboat. So if this is something that you want to do today, there's a couple of things. You can text me. You can come talk to me afterwards. We can pray together. You can also take one of our connection cards at the back. There's, fill in your contact information. There's a box that says, I'm choosing to follow Jesus today. Or I want to know more about following Jesus. And then we'll get a hold of you and we'll help walk you through that process. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to close the service. Immediately after the service, Theater One becomes a prayer room. So we always encourage people, find at least one person you've never met before, have a meaningful conversation with them. We just ask that you do that in the lobby so that people that are here, that are choosing to stay and pray, will have a place to do that. And that the prayer focus today is exactly what I talked about. It's taking an inventory of our relationships and pursuing healthy relationships, relationships that invest in us and relationships where God is working through us on behalf of somebody else. I would encourage you to stay and pray, and let me take the opportunity to pray for you. Father, I thank you so much that you don't create us to walk alone, that you walk with us, but you also call us to walk together with one another. And Lord, there's so many issues that each one of us face in our lives, whether it's external or work issues, family issues, life issues, or internal, where we deal with our own internal struggles from our past or wounds or insecurities. And Father, you place us into relationships as a tool to deal with those things. Father, I pray that you would point out to each one of us that relationship or those relationships in which we can be authentic with one another, we can pursue spirituality, where we can even challenge one another in our following of Jesus and furthering your kingdom in this world. Father, I ask for each one here that they would sense your presence today from here and throughout this week. They would sense your love. They would sense your sense of calling. They would sense the ways in which you are molding each one of us. And Father, I pray that you would help us to listen, to respond, and to not wait for the jackhammer. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.